Amen. All right, well, we're there in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, and I'd like you to look down at verse number 13, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 13. The Bible says this, till I come. This is the Apostle Paul, of course, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. If you could just turn me up a hair, I would appreciate it. I have trouble hearing myself sometimes. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And the Apostle Paul says here, he's telling Timothy, he says, give attendance to reading. And that word attendance means I want you to give attention to. I want you to pay attention to. I want you to consider the fact that you need to do these things. And of course, this week or next week, as the new year begins, we're doing our 9 chapters a day challenge here at Verity Baptist Church. And I want to explain to you that the reason we do this every year is because the Bible teaches that we need to give attendance to reading. And of course, the Apostle Paul here is speaking to the idea of reading the Word of God. And I'd like you to keep your place there in 1 Timothy because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it throughout the sermon. So if you would put a ribbon or a bookmark or something there, I would appreciate that. But go with me to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter number 1. It's the last book in the New Testament. Should be fairly easy to find. And I want you to notice that throughout the Bible, it's not just Paul, but throughout the Bible, we are encouraged to read the Bible. I'll give you just a few examples. We read there in 1 Timothy 4:13, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Revelation 1:3, the Bible says this, blessed is he that readeth. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I want you to notice that here the Bible tells us that you are blessed when you read, and of course it's talking about specifically the book of Revelation, but it can be applied to the entire Word of God. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. If you would, go with me to the book of Isaiah. If you go to the Old Testament, towards the end of the Old Testament, you'll find all those big prophetic books. You've got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. If you go to Isaiah chapter 34, Isaiah 34, and I know I asked you to keep your place in 1 Timothy, and I want you to do that, but I'd also like you to keep your place in Isaiah, because we're going to go to 1 Timothy, and then we're going to come back towards Isaiah 34, and verse number 16, Isaiah 34, 16. Notice what the Bible says. Notice what we are told, Isaiah 34, 16, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. He says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered. I want you to notice that the Bible, and we could look at other passages, we'll see many scriptures this morning, but I want you to just notice that we are encouraged in the Bible to read the Bible. We're told to give attendance to reading. We're told, blessed is he that readeth. We are commanded to seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. And if you would, keep your place in Isaiah. Go back to 1 Timothy, if you would, where you kept your place. And like I said, continue to keep your place there in Isaiah. And go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And the Bible teaches us that we are to be regularly reading the Bible. And here's what I know, and I hope, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad or guilty. I mean, if the Holy Spirit makes you feel bad, then that's fine. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. But here's what I know as a Christian. Here's what I know as a pastor who's been in ministry now for nine plus years, whatever, is this, that there are really two types of Christians in this world, and there are those who read the Bible, and there are those who don't. And unfortunately, those who don't vastly outnumber those who do. And what I want to do this morning is I want to explain to you, and in fact, the title of the sermon is this, How and Why to Read Your Bible. How and why to read your Bible, or how and why to read your Bible on a regular basis. I'd like to give you three reasons this morning in regards to how and why to read your Bible on a regular basis. Now, I know some of you like to take notes, and I encourage you to take notes, and on the back of your course of the week, there's a place for you to write down some notes. If you'd like to write these points down, you're welcome to do so. Point number one this morning is this, the reason for regularly scheduled Bible reading. Why would I, or why should I, what are the reasons for having or developing a regularly scheduled Bible reading a habit, a regularly scheduled Bible reading program? Well, are you there in 1 Timothy 4? We saw in verse 13, till I come give attendance to reading, right? Notice verse 15 of the same chapter, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. Paul says, meditate upon these things. He says, I want you to read the Bible, but then I want you to meditate upon these things. And then I don't just want you to meditate upon these things. He says, I want you to give thyself wholly to them. He said, I want you to read the Bible. Then I want you to think about what the Bible says. And then I want you to give yourself wholly to them. He's talking about Bible reading. He's talking about exhortation, which is what I'm doing right now. I'm exhorting you and I'm encouraging you to read the Bible. He's talking about doctrine, which is biblical teaching. He says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. And then he says this, and you might ask, well, why? Why should I meditate? Why should I give myself wholly to it? Why should I take the time to read 9 chapters a day in the month of January? Why should I do those things? Here's why. That thy profiting may appear to all. He says that thy profiting may appear to all. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And you might ask, well, what does that mean? That thy profiting may appear to all. And here's what I want you to understand. And I'd like you to continue to keep your place there in 1 Timothy. We're going to come back to it. But go to the book of John. John chapter number 10. And we're looking at a lot of Bible this morning. We're going to look at a lot of Bible about reading the Bible, all right? John chapter 10. In the New Testament, you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter number 10. And look at verse number 10. Now, John 10:10 is a very famous scripture in the Bible. You've seen it before, but I'd like you to see it again. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 10 and verse 10. The Bible says this. The thief. Now, this is Jesus speaking. If you've got a red letter edition Bible, these words are in red because these are words that actually came out of the mouth of Christ. And he says this, the thief, and he's referring to the devil or devils or demonic oppression, spiritual warfare. He says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that's what the devil wants to do in your life. I don't know if you know that. Peter learned this lesson of it the very hard way we've been learning on Sunday nights. That's why Peter would later on write, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You need to understand that when you got saved, you got engaged in spiritual warfare, and the devil wants nothing more. And it's not just the devil, it's the world and your flesh. They're all working against you. It's the axis of evil working against you to kill and to steal and to destroy. The devil wants nothing more than to kill and to steal and to destroy your spiritual life, your financial life, your relationships, your marriage, your parenting, any area in your life, the devil wants to destroy it. And then Jesus says this, he says, I am come that they might have life. Now, I believe that's referring to spiritual life, to salvation. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. Because Jesus, when you believe on him, you're born again, you're regenerated into a new man. He says, I am come that they might have life. But notice, that's not the only reason he came. He said, I am come that they might have life. And then he says this, and that they might have it more abundantly. See, here's what we often don't think of, but we need to realize that Jesus did not only come to give you life, but Jesus also came to make you better at life. Do you understand that? He came to give you life, salvation. But then he wants to help you be better at life. He wants you to be a better husband, a better wife, better mom, a better dad, a better employee, better employer, a better Christian. He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So when Paul says, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. He says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Here's what he's saying. And here you say, well, what is the reason for regularly scheduled Bible reading? Here's why. To get the truth that you need for life. Say, why should I read the Bible every day? Because God, the creator of the universe, the God that created you, that made you, that brought you into existence, also wrote a book, wrote a letter to you where he gives you everything you need for life. He explains to you everything you need to know to make good decisions, right decisions, to not make mistakes and not mess up your life. And you say, well, why should I read the Bible? Here's why, that you might have the abundant life that God wants to give you. That you might get the truth that you need. And Paul says, Timothy, when you give yourself, when you give attendance to reading, when you meditate upon these things, when you give yourself wholly to them, he said, your profiting is going to appear to all. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have struggles in life. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have difficulty in life. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have tribulation in life. But the truth of the matter is this. When you get together with your unsaved family or unsaved friends or whatever, when you see them at Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever, and you're right with God and they're not walking with God, aren't you thankful that your kids don't act like their kids? Aren't you thankful that the relationship you have with your wife or with your husband is different than the relationship that they obviously have? Aren't you thankful? And it's not because you're smart. It's not because you're smarter than they are or wiser than they are. It's just that the Bible is written. God says, here's how to do marriage. Here's how to do parenting. Here's how to do friendship. Here's how to do relationships. Here's how to do life. And God says, if you'll follow it. Paul says, if you follow it, thy profiting will appear to all. And it's obvious. And it's obvious those who are content, those who have joy, those who are living the abundant life. And you say, oh, is it just because they're Christians? Not necessarily. It's the Christians who are reading and applying their Bible. So you say, well, what's the reason for Bible reading? Well, it's to learn the truth that you need for life. But let me put it this way. It's to not make the major mistakes in your life that the Bible warns you about. Are you there in John? Go with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. If you just head back a few books. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus brings up this subject of Bible reading. It's interesting to me. Because when he brings it up, he always brings it up. It seems to come up with this consistent theme. I'll show it to you quickly. Matthew chapter 12. Look at verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. And his disciples were in hunger and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. So here you've got these so-called, quote-unquote, Christians, who are not Christians, these Pharisees, and they're pointing at disciples of Jesus Christ, and they're saying they're doing something that is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Notice the response they get from Christ. Verse 3, but he said unto them, have ye not read what David did when he was in hunger, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? And here's what he's saying. Jesus is looking at religious people, and they're making these religious decisions, and they're saying, well, you need to be doing this, and you shouldn't be doing that. And then Jesus is saying, well, wait a minute, have you not read? Because the Bible actually doesn't say that. Look at verse 5. He says, or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest and the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? You're there in Matthew 12, go to Matthew chapter 19. And here's what's interesting. What's interesting is that today, we'll look at religious organizations and places, and hopefully you're not walking into them. But if you walk into them, you know, you walk into a church building and it looks like a casino. It feels like a rock concert. Everything's dark and there's smoke and there's flashing lights and there's this and there's that. And you can't help but ask yourself, have you not read? Have you not read that we're not supposed to be conformed to this world? Have you not read that we're supposed to abstain from the appearance of evil? Have you not read that we are supposed to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing? Have you not read? Or sometimes people will criticize us and they'll say, well, I can't believe you preach this about this subject and you preach that about that subject and you teach people to do this and do that. And you got to ask yourself, well, have you not read what the Bible actually says? And here's the answer to the question. Most Christians have not read. what the Bible actually says. And you find Jesus having this struggle. Matthew 19, look at verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now I can, look, I can feel this one. I mean, as a pastor, I've had people say, come to me and say, I'm thinking of getting a divorce, or I'm going to get a divorce, or I'm going to do this. And I ask myself the same question Jesus asked, verse 4, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read? Have you not read what God thinks about that? What God teaches about that? What God says about that? That he which made them at the beginning, made them male and female, and of course he goes on to teach, that he made them one flesh, and what God hath put together, let not man put asunder. Look at Matthew 22. Just flip a few chapters over. Matthew 22, look at verse 24. Matthew 22 and verse 24, the Bible says this, saying, Matthew 22, verse 24, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now, they're bringing out an Old Testament principle, and they're about to give Jesus a ridiculous hypothetical statement because they're trying to catch him in his words, and they're trying to be smarter than Jesus. They say, now there was with us seven brethren. The first, when he was had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And the last of all, the woman died also. Now, these are people who do not believe in the resurrection. They do not believe in the afterlife. And they're trying to catch Jesus because Jesus obviously teaches about heaven and hell and the afterlife. And they're saying, oh, okay. Well, Moses said in the law that if a brother marries a wife and they don't have children and the brother dies, that his brother's supposed to marry that wife. So let me give you a hypothetical question. What if that happens? The husband dies, the brother marries him, they don't have children, that brother dies, other brother marries him, that brother dies, another brother marries him, that brother dies. What about that? And I'm thinking to myself, that lady needs to get investigated, number one. I mean, how do you there should be like a dateline about her. So how many husbands that she had and they all wind up dead? I mean, no one's suspicious about this? But they're trying to catch Jesus, and they're like, what about that? What do you think about that? And notice his response, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err. Ye do err not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. And by the way, I would say this, if you don't know the scriptures, you will not know the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, and he goes on to explain what the Bible says. Go to the book of Hosea, if you would, in the Old Testament. If you kept your place in Isaiah, you'll go from Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. You say, Pastor, what's the reason for Bible reading? Here's the reason for Bible reading. So you can get the truth you need for the abundant Christian life, and so that you can avoid the pitfalls and mistakes that will come to your life for not reading the Bible. As a pastor of a church, and we do our best, and we're not perfect, obviously. We're doing our best here, but I don't know if you've noticed, but we do our best at Verity Baptist Church to give you the Bible in heavy doses. When you show up here, you're not going to hear a lot of poems and stories and jokes and whatever. You might get those from time to time, but you know what you will get? You'll get the Word of God in heavy doses. And you know what I often hear, and some of you have said it to me, and I'm not bashing you for saying this. It's just the truth. Many of you have said this to me. What I often hear is someone will come to a church like ours, and after being here for a few weeks or a few months or a few years, they'll make a statement like this. They'll say, I wish someone would have told me that. I wish I would have known that. I wish I would have learned that before my divorce, before my kids grew up. I wish I would have known that when I was much younger. I wish somebody would have told me that years and years and years ago. And here's all I'm telling you, and maybe your life is different than my life, but here's the truth. My life is too short. My life is too short, and my wife and my children and this ministry is too precious for me to be learning how to do life by, making mistakes. Now, we all make mistakes and we understand that, but please understand this. When you read the Bible and you get the truth of the Word of God and you realize, oh, that's how I'm supposed to act at work. That's why I keep getting fired. That's why I never get promoted. That's what the Bible says. When you read the Bible and you realize, oh, that's why my kids hate me. That's why my wife wants to leave me. Oh, that's why things aren't working out in life. When you read the Bible, you realize, wow, God has given me instructions for how to live life. Then you can live the abundant Christian life. You don't have to live your life with a short fuse, with a bad temper, with a bitter attitude. God has the answers you need in life. And here's all I'm telling you. You say, why should I read the Bible? So that you can get the truths you need, so that you can avoid mistakes, so you can avoid regrets. I've told you this before. Something my wife and I, a big prayer we have with our kids, because look, my kids, they're growing up. I've got from 12 to 2 years old, or not, good night, 1 year old or something. I can't remember. I got too many kids. I can barely remember their names, much less their ages. But here's the thing. Here's what I know. I'm running out of time with them. One of the prayers my wife and I have is, Lord, if there's something we're doing wrong with these kids, please let us know now, because I don't want to figure it out when they're 30 that, wow, that was a mistake. Wow, that relationship I should not have allowed. Wow, I shouldn't have let them go there. I shouldn't have let them done that. Lord, if there's something we're doing wrong right now, you say, why read the scriptures? Because I want to be the best dad I can be. Amen. My wife wants to be the best mother she can be. And God has already told us how to do it. God has already told us how to live life. He did not just come to give you life, but he came that ye might have it more abundantly. See, Jesus wants to give you life, and he wants to make you better at life, and he's given you all the answers. They're in the Word of God. So here's the question. Are you reading it? You say, what's the reason for Bible reading? Well, here's the reason. Hosea 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. It's referring to the Word of God. I will also forget thy children. Say, why read the Bible? What's the reason for regularly scheduled Bible reading? That you might learn the truths you need for life, to not make major mistakes in your lives. That you might, and look, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to have regrets. But your goal and my goal in life should be to have as few regrets as possible. Amen. Your goal and my goal in life should be to figure out what the Bible says, to give attendance to reading, to meditate upon these things, to give myself wholly to them, that my profiting may appear to all. To not have regrets. To not make mistakes. That's why. That's the reason for regularly scheduled Bible reading. Go to Acts chapter 17, if you would. In the New Testament, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. There's so many times, there's so many things, decisions people make, and it's like, man, if you just read the Bible, you know the Bible speaks about that. You know the Bible speaks into that. You know the Bible has principles for that. You know the Bible can help you make that decision. The Bible can help you make that choice. The Bible can help you decide what you should do. The Bible can help you if you'd read it. So I said, number one, there's a reason for regularly scheduled Bible reading. But number two, let me say this, there's a routine of regularly scheduled Bible reading. What's the routine? Are you there in Acts 17? Look at verse 11. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Now this is Paul. He just came from a church in Thessalonica. And he shows up to this church in Berea. And he says, these people were more noble than those in Thessalonica. You say, why were they better? Here's why. And that they received the word with all readiness of mind. So when they went to church, the pastor stood up to preach, and they received the word with all readiness of mind. Their minds, they were ready to receive the word of God. The word of God is going to help me. The word of God is going to tell me where I'm wrong. All scripture is given by inspiration of God for rebuke, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, right? He says, look, they were ready to receive with all readiness of mind. He's like, but that's not just it. Notice they also, and search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Well, I'm here. I'm here and hearing your preaching. Okay, well, you need the and. Search the scriptures daily. Now, I always say this whenever I read this. It doesn't say and search YouTube daily, and search Facebook daily, and I listen to Pastor So-and-so's every sermon he's ever preached. I'm not against that, but listen to me. If you're listening to every sermon that every pastor has ever preached and you're not reading the Bible, there's something wrong. You've got something. Your priorities are messed up. They went to their local house of God, received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Because look, the preaching of the word of God is not enough to get you through life. This helps. But you have to be in the book. You have to be reading the Bible for yourself. Now, when I said I'm going to preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you know what? We are, as preachers of the Word of God, we are helping you go further, faster. We are bringing things out of the Word of God. And you say, I would have never seen that. Well, you may have seen it. It just may have taken you some time. I never knew that. I didn't know the Bible said that. We're helping you go further, faster. But look, you need to have the search of Scriptures daily, whether those things were so yourself. There needs to be a daily routine of Bible reading. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 17, if you would. Towards the beginning of the Old Testament, you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 17. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17 and verse 18, the Bible says this, and it shall be when he, this is Moses speaking about the future king of Israel, when he sitteth about the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in the book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. He's talking about the word of God. He says, I want to make sure he has the word of God. Verse 19, why? Notice, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. God says, I want you to read the Bible every day. Say, why? Well, to review point number one, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. Because the Bible only helps you when you do what the Bible says to do. But you can't do what the Bible says to do if you don't even know what the Bible says to do. Which is why Hosea said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So there's a reason for regularly scheduled Bible reading, but there's a routine for regularly scheduled Bible reading. And I want to encourage you got to read your Bible every day. You got to read your Bible every day. Now, let me just give you real quickly just some practical steps for developing a habit of daily Bible reading, okay? Because sometimes people say, well, I don't know how to do it. And it's not that complicated. Sometimes you just need somebody to help you go further, faster, right? Sometimes you just need somebody to kind of help you get it, get a system down. So when it comes to daily Bible reading, how do I develop a habit of daily Bible reading? There's three things that you have to do. Number one, you must choose a place. You need a place. And I'm telling you, you say, I want to read the Bible every day. Okay, I'm telling you right now, in your mind, choose a place. Where are you going to read your Bible every day? I've told you this before for my wife and I, and this works for us. Maybe your life's a little different, and you've got different things going on, and you've got to figure it out for yourself. For my wife and I, this place is our dining room table. At our dining room table. That's where we sit, and we read the Bible. Together, we don't read the Bible together. I read my Bible and she reads her Bible and we have different plans and we're even reading in different sections of the Bible. But that's our location. You must choose a place. You need a place. Number two, you need a plan. You need a plan for Bible reading. That's why we give you this chart for 9 chapters a day. So you have a plan. You've got a system. Okay, here's what I'm supposed to read day one. Okay, here's what I'm supposed to read day two. Okay, here's what I'm supposed to read day three. Oh man, I messed up. I didn't get all my reading in on day four. Oh, I've got a grace period. I'll use that. Here's what I read the next day. You know, you've got the 9 chapters a day. There's all sorts of other plans. You can find plans on the internet. We can print out plans for you. But you need a plan, a way to track. Look, no goal will work, whether it's Bible reading or weight loss or saving money. No goal will work if you don't have a way to track it. I'm going to lose weight this year, but I'm never going to get on the scale. You're not going to lose any weight. It's true. You got to track it. You need a place. You need a plan. You need to be able to check something up and say, yes, I did what I was supposed to do today, and I'm getting to my destination. I'm getting to my goal. You need a place. You need a plan. You need an appointment. You should make an appointment with God every day. You should have a time set aside that this is the time, this is the time, I go here at this time, and I have this plan, and I read the Bible. And again, for my wife and I, that time is first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning, we try to get up before the kids get up, because once six kids get up, it's done. You know, it's crazy. It's craziness. We try to get up before the kids get up. My wife makes two cups of coffee. We sit at the dining room table, and we read. That works for us. That may not work for you. But here's what you need. You need to have a place and a plan and an appointment. There needs to be a day, a time in the day that you've set aside and said, this is when I will read. This is what I will read. And this is where I will read. Because he wants you, because God wants you to read therein all the days of your life, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God, that you may keep all the words of his law, and that you may do them. See, there's a reason. There's a reason for regularly scheduled Bible reading. There's a routine for regularly scheduled Bible reading. And by the way, you know, this 9 chapters a day challenge we do every year, I'm thankful for it. I love looking at those plaques. You look at those plaques, I should have counted it. I didn't count it. But you look at those plaques, you look at year one, little plaque like this, I think it's got 9 names on it. First year, we did 9 chapters a day. 9 people took the challenge and completed it, whatever. You look at last year's plaque, it's like this big, 80-something names on it. I love seeing that. I love seeing you can see the church growth and the church growing and people reading. People, you say, why do you do that? Why do you do 9 chapters a day? I'll just go ahead and tell you my ulterior motive. Here's my ulterior motive. If I can dare you, because some of you, that's what you need, right? You need somebody, I bet you can't do it. Like, oh, well, watch me. If I can dare you to read your Bible every day for 31 days, I'm hoping that you'll create a habit. And February 1st, you'll just get up and read your Bible. And February 2nd, you'll get up and read your Bible. February 3rd, and I'm not saying you have to read 9 chapters every day for the rest of your life or the whole year, but here's all I'm saying, is that God wants you to read your Bible every day. God wants you to read your Bible every day. So we talked about the reason for regularly scheduled Bible reading. We talked about the routine for regularly scheduled Bible reading. Let me give you number 3 and we'll finish up. The results of regularly scheduled Bible reading. I'd like you to go to Jeremiah chapter 15. I'm not sure if you kept your place in Isaiah. I meant to tell you to keep your place in Isaiah. If you did, you have Isaiah and then the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 15. See, throughout the Bible equates itself, and the Bible equates itself to all sorts of different things. But one thing that it consistently pictures itself as is food. And the Bible equates itself as spiritual food for the spiritual being, for the spiritual man, the spiritual woman inside of you, the spirit inside of you. Jeremiah 15, verse 16, I'll show you just a couple of these examples. Jeremiah 15, 16. Here's what the prophet Jeremiah said. He said, thy words were found. Thy words were found. Some of you, you're going to have to go find your Bible to read 9 chapters a day. Thy words were found. And he says this, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. He said, thy words were found and I did eat them. Go to Job 23. Job 23, you're there in Jeremiah. If you just go backwards, you're going to go past Isaiah, past Song of Solomon, past Ecclesiastes, past Proverbs, past Psalms, into Job. Right? If you find Psalms right in the center, right before that, you have the book of Job. Job 23, verse 12. Job 23, 12, the Bible says this, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lip. By the way, this is a man who went through a huge trial in his life. Lost his children, lost his finances, lost his health, his relationship with his wife struggled. He said, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. Job 23, 12, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He said, I need spiritual food more than I need physical food. In Matthew chapter 4, if you go there, first book in the New Testament, should be fairly easy to find. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus said this when he was being tempted. Matthew 4, 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Look, Jesus said, you can't live your life just feeding your physical self. You need the Word of God. You need to feed yourself spiritually. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You're there in Matthew? You're going to go Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. I'm confessing to you my ulterior motives. Wow, 9 chapters a day? Why are you doing that? Here's why. Because I'm hoping if you read 9 chapters a day, every day in the month of January, that you'll develop a habit of daily Bible reading. You say, well, why do you want that? Well, I've got an ulterior motive for that one too. And it's this. If I can get, and I hope that doesn't sound right, if the Holy Spirit of God can get, if we could get, as many of you to develop a habit of daily Bible reading. You say, Pastor, what do you get out of that? You know what I get out of that? You know what I get out of that? Here's what I know. People, Christians who read their Bible every day are strong Christians. People who read their Bibles every day, look, you cannot take a child and not feed them and expect them to be strong and healthy. You physically need food to be healthy, to be strong, to have the energy you need. Well, you know what? You spiritually need the Word of God, which is your spiritual food, to be energetic. You know, honestly, if I can get as many of you to read the Bible every day, it makes my ministry easier. It makes my job easier. I hope that's okay. I mean, if your life's just not falling apart, and I'm not mad at you if your life is falling apart. I'm here for you. My wife is here for you. We want to help you. We want to be with you. But if you're just feeding yourself spiritually, you're strong, you're eating spiritual food, and you're strong, you know what? Then we have a church filled with mature, strong Christians. Praise the Lord for it. That's the ulterior motive. You want it? You want to know what my... There's a conspiracy here. Okay, here it is. We want to make you strong. We don't want your marriage to struggle. We want your kids to be happy. We want you to raise children that love the Lord and love you. We want your finances to be in order. We want you to live the abundant Christian life. Why do you think I spend weeks preaching sermons about bitterness and about burying the hatchet and about people skills and about parenting and families? And why do we do that? Why do we bring up finances, spend weeks talking about finances? Why do we do that? Because God has given you the instructions you need for life. And if you would know them, and if you would meditate upon them, and if you would do them, they would help you. So you need a routine. You know what's interesting? You know what's interesting? Is that sometimes you watch people struggle through life. Life happens. And they go through trials. And they go through tribulation. And they go through difficult things. And sometimes you watch people's lives fall apart. And other times you watch people just faithfully go through it. And you know what I was thinking to myself? I was thinking to myself, there's people who read the Bible. Because the Bible says, when the storms come, if you're founded upon the rock of the Word of God, you'll make it. When the storms come and you're founded upon the sands of this world, you'll collapse. And the truth is that the storms, people often say, oh, the storms destroyed my spiritual life. The storms only revealed what was already there. A weak foundation. Paul said it this way, 2 Corinthians 4:16. He said, for which cause we faint not. For which cause we faint not. You know what I know? I know this. If I can get you reading your Bible every day, less of you will quit church. You know what I know? I know this. If I can get many of you to read your Bible every day, to think about these things and to apply them in your life, less of you will get backslidden. Just mark it down. Anytime someone gets backslidden, mark it down. They're not reading their Bible. There's nobody who gets up every day, opens up the Word of God, reads the Word of God. There's nobody who opens up the Bible every day and asks and pray to God, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, and spends time in the Word of God and thinks about it and attempts to apply it in their life. There's nobody that does that every day and then gets out of church, gets out of soul winning, gets backslidden. Doesn't happen. When someone gets backslidden, someone quits, someone's not, you know, here's, mark it down, they're not in their Bible. So yeah, I have an agenda. I want you to read your Bible. Paul said, "For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, though the outward man, the life falling apart and things are happening and we're struggling," he says, "though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." You'll say, how are you handling this situation in your life, Job? He says, well, I've determined that the words of God, they're more necessary than my physical food. Job would say, though the outward man perish, the inward man, he's renewed day by day. When I make my appointment with God, when I open the Bible and I read it, I'm renewed. You're renewed. So there's a reason for regular scheduled Bible reading. What is it? That you may learn the truth you need for life. That you may avoid major regrets and mistakes in your life. There's a routine. You need a place. You need a plan. You need an appointment. There's a result. What's the result? A strong and mature Christian. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. If you go back there, that's where we started. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to go to 1 Timothy, and we're going to go to 1 and 2 Peter, and then we'll finish up, all right? 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 6. Remember we started? He said, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. He said, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Notice verse 6, 1 Timothy 4, 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's what I'm doing. You say, another Bible reading sermon? Yeah, I need to put you in remembrance of these things. Amen. Pastor, you preach a Bible reading sermon every year. Well, that's because every year you start off reading 9 chapters a day, and by the time we get to December, you're not reading the Bible anymore. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Notice, nourished up in the words of faith, of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. The word of God will nourish you up, will give you the nourishment you need, the strength you need. The result of regularly scheduled Bible reading is mature and strong Christians. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would. You're there in 1 Timothy. You're going to go past 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. 1, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says this, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, don't miss it, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Say, why do I need the sincere milk of the word? That ye may grow thereby. 2 Peter 3:18, the Bible says this, but grow in grace. 2 Peter 3:18. You're there in 1 Peter, just one book over. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Here's what I know. The only way to become a mature Christian in your life is to be reading the Bible on a regular basis. Please understand this. Please understand. I said it at the beginning of the sermon, and some of you didn't understand it. I hope you understand it now. There are two types of Christians in this world, those who read the Bible and those who don't. And there is no way you can live as a mature Christian without having and without spending time in the Word of God on a regular basis. The only way for you to be a mature Christian, the only way for you to grow, you say, I want to grow, okay, well, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The only way to mature in your Christian life is to be reading the Bible on a regular basis. So I want to encourage you. Why not start this new year? Why not decide this year, you know what, Pastor? I'm taking the challenge. I'm going to choose a place. I'm going to get my plan. I'm going to make an appointment. I'm going to spend time in the Word of God because I don't want to miss out on the truths that God has for me. Because I don't want to make mistakes and regrets that later on I'll find out, wow, the Bible told me what to do all along. Will you take the challenge? Will you say yes? This January. Pastor, you just want us to read so you can put names on that plaque? No, I want you to read so that you can mature and grow and be the Christian, the strong Christian that God has called you to be. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know every year there's a Bible reading sermon. I understand that. And Lord, I understand that we can grow cold and callous. But Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in the lives of every person here. That your Holy Spirit would impress upon us the importance of daily Bible reading. And Lord, I pray that many of us would walk out this morning saying, I'm choosing a place, I'm grabbing a plan, I'm making an appointment, I'm going to spend time with God every day, because I can't afford to make mistakes, and I want to live the abundant Christian life. Father, we love you. Thank you for sending us your word, for giving us your word, for giving us instructions, not just for salvation, but principles for life. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to make the best out of it. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.